الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب صدق الله العظيم وقال الله تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى أصحاب سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى أزواج سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all mankind, the greatest of all creation, the leader of all the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is through the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that today we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. And so we continue with Surah Al-Inshirah. In today's verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى So verily, with difficulty comes ease. Verily, with difficulty comes ease. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, سَيَجَعَ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرِ يُسْرَى Soon, Allah will make ease after difficulty. Also, in one place, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, لَوْ دَخَلَ الْعُسْرُ جُهْرًا لَتَبَعُهُ الْيُسْرُ حَيْثَ كَانْ حَيْثُ كَانْ Ibn Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that if difficulty was to enter into a hall, then yusr, ease, would follow it immediately into the same hall, wherever that difficulty might be. Now, there are many different reasons why here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated the verse. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى The verse has been repeated. So one of the most common reasonings for this, and the simple reasoning for this, is التَّكْرَارُ لِلْتَأْكِيدِ That repetition for the sake of emphasis. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing that with difficulty comes ease, and with difficulty comes ease. In this verse, there is a very great glad tiding, not only for Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but generally for the wider ummah as well. That, you know, in life we experience difficulties, and this is just how life is. Yeah, nobody lives their entire lives in a state of bliss and comfort. This is what Jannah is all about, where there is absolute comfort and bliss eternal bliss, and there are no difficulties. So life is full of difficulties, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that with every difficulty comes ease, with every difficulty comes ease. So there's many things and notes that we can take out from these verses. First of all, in one hadith narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, on the authority of one of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has also brought this hadith in his collection of 40 hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ فِي الصَّبْرِ وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ فِي الصَّبْرِ, that understand that it patience that is help. تَعْرَفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاء يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ فِي الصَّبْرِ عَلَى مَا تَرَكَهُ عَلَى مَا تَكْرَهُ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of difficulties, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of ease. When we are enjoying ourselves and life is good, we tend to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are going experiencing illnesses, and when we are going through difficulties, then it's all good, you know, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praying salah and everything. But when you are enjoying life and then you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a greater blessing and reward in that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that remember and recognize Allah in the state of ease, and Allah will remember you in the time of difficulties. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ فِي الصَّبْرِ عَلَى مَا تَكْرَحْ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Doing, having patience upon those difficult things that you do not like, there is great, there is greatness for you in there. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرْجَ مَعَ الْكَرِبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. رَوَاهُ تِرْمِذِي. And then he continues to say that with pain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring comfort and relaxation, and with difficulty comes ease. So this is also a hadith with the very similar words that are used in this verse. Now, there are, first of all, one from a linguistic point of view, one way we can look at this, and I'm not going to go into the grammatical complexities of the verse. However, we find one thing that we can see in the verse. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. If we look at the word عُسْر, the word عُسْر means difficulty. Now on the word عُسْر, there is أَلِفْ لَام. There is an أَلِفْ لَام here. And on the word يُسْر, there is no أَلِفْ لَام. And in the second verse also, there's on the word عُسْر, we have أَلِفْ لَام. And on the word يُسْر, there's no أَلِفْ لَام. So there's many uses of أَلِفْ لَام in the Arabic language. One use of Alif Lam is that it creates a specification and it makes something specific. And Yusr without Alif Lam, words are generally generic. Now, one rule in the Arabic language is that when a sentence is repeated, and the two of the same words, they both have Alif Lam on, then they both refer to the exact same thing. And if they don't have Alif Lam on, they refer to different things. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here is in both verses, the usr is one. Meaning that Allah, in both of these verses, Allah is referring to one difficulty, whilst across the two verses, Allah is referring to multiple eases. So the Mufassirin, just from these little letters being placed in certain places, the Mufassirin have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives one difficulty to a person. After that, He gives him many eases. This is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He gives us one difficulty, then for a period of time, He gives us many, many different eases. Also, with difficulty, we understand from the teachings of Islam that we are humans and we commit sins. Now, there's two ways that these sins can be erased. Number one, through istighfar. We commit a sin, we recognize that we have committed a sin, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. The second thing is that we don't do istighfar. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants good for us. He wants us not to go to Jahannam. Yeah? In one verse, Allah, He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for the people. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is He puts us through difficulty. Now this difficulty, through this difficulty, whether it's an illness, whether it's an injury, whether it's stress, whether it's some sort of pain, some a loss of someone in your life, whether it's through death or whatever it might be, Allah puts us through difficulty, and through this difficulty our sins get forgiven. And at the same time, of course, when our sins are getting forgiven, it means that we are becoming cleaner spiritually and we are becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when we understand this, it makes it easier for us to go through difficulties, to go through pain, having that knowledge and knowing that through this pain, Allah is wiping away my sins, Allah is clearing my sins. Also, another thing we learn is that the more we do istighfar, the less difficulties that will come upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Also, this alif lam, it has one use of the alif lam is for what in Arabic we call yufid al-istighraq, which basically means every single type of difficulty that is existing in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to it. So whatever that difficulty might be, it's not just specific types of difficulty. Now, moving on, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elucidating to in this verse? So again, we have many different interpretations for this. The first interpretation is that these verses, they are connected to the second verse of this surah. That initially we mentioned that وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَذَ ظَهْرَكَ, and we removed from you your burden that had weighed heavy on your back. And he's talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at that point, we had mentioned that this burden could have meant many different things. And we mentioned that sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do something that was not the best option, but it was permissible. So this was weighing heavy on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was causing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam anxiety. Another interpretation of that verse over there is that it's talking about the early difficulties of Islam. Other ulama have mentioned that he's talking about in the early days of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was struggling. He was finding the burden of Nubuwa. He's taking it hard upon himself. So this is that all of these things are difficulties. So here there's glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before there was a time when it was difficulty, now after this will come ease. And we see that in every single example, afterwards, Rasulullah ﷺ did not experience, you know, that initially when Rasulullah ﷺ went to Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he was struggling, he was feeling anxious, and he was feeling very frightful because of this experience. But later on, Allah made him stronger, and the Prophet ﷺ did not feel that difficulty anymore. So, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. First, it was difficult for Rasulullah ﷺ, and then it was not difficult for Rasulullah ﷺ. If you're talking about the early challenges that the Muslims experienced in Islam, in the early days of Makkah, when they got to Medina, the gates of victory opened up. Where Islam and the Muslims won in Uhud, the Muslims won in Badr, they began to win many battles. And then at the time of Khaybar, so much wealth flooded into Medina. So in Makkah al-Mukarramah, there was difficulty. The Muslims were less number, they were going through difficulties and experience, and they were experiencing difficulties, and they were being abused, they were being persecuted by the Quraysh and the Kuffar of Makkah. Afterwards, they came to the Madani period. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba down, the Muslims are growing in number. The victories are coming. They're starting to win battles. Wealth is coming into Medina. Islam is spreading day by day, week by week. Islam is spreading like a wildfire. So, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. First it was difficulty, then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the Muslims with victory and with ease. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one difficulty cannot be greater, cannot outnumber, cannot overcome two eases. Which basically also backs up what we mentioned from the grammatical perspective, that it will never be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person so many different types of difficulties and then only gives them one or two eases. Rather, it's that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives difficulties and then He gives eases after that. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. And when you become free from collective services, فَانْصَبْ, toil hard and work hard. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ, and toward your Lord, فَارْغَبْ, turn with eagerness. Now, there are a few things that we need to understand from these final two verses. First of all, we mentioned previously that we find this theme within the Holy Quran, that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a blessing upon mankind, a blessing upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately after that, Allah will command Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah will command the ummah to be thankful for this favor. For example, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. When the help of Allah came and victory came, and you saw people entering in large groups into Islam. So this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. So praise and sing the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do istighfar. In another place Allah says, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرْ. Verily we have blessed you with al-kawthar. So this is a blessing. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. So pray your salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wanhar, and sacrifice animals. And like that, there are many, many places. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions His favor upon the Quraysh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, the Quraysh were going through difficulties because they lived in a desert, so they were suffering when it came to provisions and sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the trade business trips to Yemen and to Syria, to Sham, easy for them. So it's a favor Allah is mentioning upon the Rasulullah, upon the Quraysh. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. So worship the Lord of this house, yani the Kaaba. So we find this theme that whenever Allah mentions a favor, immediately Allah will command us to do ibadah. And ibadah is a form, and worship is a form of thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So over here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned so many favors upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْكَذَ ظَهْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. So these are three favors of Allah specific to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then with difficulty comes ease, and with difficulty comes ease. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning favors. So right at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now commanding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when you finish and when you become free, yani when you finish calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so this was, what was the occupation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was his task? What was his job? given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was to call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah is saying that when you finish doing that, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرَقُ, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him. So here again we find the same theme where Allah is mentioning favors, and then after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning how we should be thankful for them favors. Second thing is that there are two types of worship mentioned over here. The first type of worship is an indirect form of worship, where between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there is something in between. And through this, the avenue of this third party, we are fulfilling the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is basically worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second type of worship is where there is no third party in between, is between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So examples of the first type of worship, indirect worship, is, for example, helping your respecting your parents. Okay? Through respecting the respect of your parents, so your parents are the third party, you are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the respect of your parents. Giving sadaqah and charity, so you are helping somebody, so through helping this third person, you are making Allah happy. So these are examples of indirect forms of worship. And direct forms of worship are basically salah. It's you and it's Allah. You are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Dhikr, praying the Qur'an, all of these things are simply between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are direct forms of worship. So here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا فَرَقْتَ فَانْصَبْ, and when you become free, يعني, what it means over here is that all day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go out and he would, he would try his very hard, he was, he would strenuously go and use all his efforts and strength in calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you become free, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to when you finish calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day, then fansab, come the trilateral root of this word is noon, sawad, and ba. And the meaning of this word is to become tired. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that tire yourself in direct worship. So Allah is saying that throughout the day, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, at night time when everyone goes to sleep, fansab, you make your effort on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till you become tired. Yeah? وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ, and turn towards Allah, and towards Allah with eagerness. Now, the second form of worship is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions as the soul and the fundamental purpose of our existence in this world. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I did not create jinn kind and mankind except for what purpose? لِيَعْبُدُونَ, except to worship me. So worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the main purpose of life. Why do we do all the other indirect forms of worship? Why do we call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The reason why we call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so that it results in them also worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and basically calling them towards direct worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. The reason why we call other people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because maybe they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah? So this is the main, from the two types of worship, this is from the main. Also, this first type of worship, in the previous nations, it was specific to the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. The normal people, the awam, they were not given this duty to call people towards Allah. This was only the job of the Anbiya. However, our ummah, because we are the final ummah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away and there is no other Nabi to come, this job, this occupation, this effort has now been passed to us. that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ and تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that remind one another, for reminders benefit the mu'mineen. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this second type of, the first type of worship for this ummah is for everybody. You know, we there's so many different types of da'wah, and those people who are involved in the work of da'wah, whichever type of da'wah that might be, whether it's tabligh, whether it's being an imam, whether it's, you know, sitting on the pulpit and giving lectures, whether it's the work of tasawwuf, whether it's via YouTube, whatever it may be, whatever form of da'wah we are involved in, it's important for us to understand and look into these verses. There are many important lessons we need to learn from these verses. Another lesson that we learn from these verses is that we should back our the da'wah that we give throughout the day, that our efforts throughout the day should be backed up by night prayer. One of the fundamental reasons for this is that إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ, that you cannot guide who you want to guide, Allah guides whom He wants. So we put effort in throughout the day. If we don't worship Allah at the end of the day and throughout the night, then we in one way, indirectly, we are trying to say that no, it's just my efforts. Whatever effort I put in, that's it. I don't need Allah's help. Na'udhu billah. We have to work throughout the night and make dua. Ya Allah, all this effort I'm putting in throughout the day, Ya Allah, guidance is in your hands. Ya Allah, you guide them. Ya Allah, you guide them. And we have to make that effort on our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And there are so many examples of this that, look, we look to the example of Abu Talib. Yeah, Abu Talib was not blessed with Islam. He was one of the greatest supporters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He looked after our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from the age of 8 all the way till he passed away. And he supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his most difficult years. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Abu Talib very, very much. And Abu Talib loved and respected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very much. And so many times when the non-Muslims of Makkah would, they would come to Abu Talib, because Abu Talib at that time, and after Abdul Muttalib passed away, he was known as the leader of Makkah. They would come to Abu Talib and they would say to him that, you know, tell your nephew to stop all this. But Abu Talib would say, no, you leave him alone, let him do. He used to say to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, you carry on. And like this, with his reputation and his position, he and his influence, he would protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from so much difficulties. At the time after Abu Talib passed away, the persecution of the Quraysh went to a different level, because that protection had gone. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very, very, very sad and upset when Abu Talib passed away without iman. But this was the greatest, the most beloved uncle to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of the greatest supporters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah did not want him to become Muslim. This is it. This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, we have examples such as Wahshi, Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala. He was the one who made the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Hamza, Asadullah, the lion of Allah, Hazrat Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib. He made him shaheed. He killed him, yeah, on the battlefield. But Allah blessed him with iman. On the day of Qiyamah, Wahshi will go to Jannah and Abu Talib will go to Jahannam. Abu Talib was the greatest supporter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst arguably Wahshi caused Rasulullah so much pain through his execution of Hazrat Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Wahshi, you know, he became Muslim. He said, no, I'm happy you've become Muslim, but when you come in front of me, I remember my uncle. Please don't come in front of me. Such, you know, but Allah wanted Wahshi to become Abu Sufyan. For he led in the Battle of Uhud, he led the disbelievers fight against the Muslims. Yeah? But Allah, in the end, Allah blessed him with iman, because Allah wanted to. And like that, there were so many enemies of Islam who spent so many years against the Muslims and against Rasulullah, but Allah blessed them with iman. And on this side, we have Abu Talib, who supported Rasulullah for a majority of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah did not want him to. Allah did not want iman for Abu Talib. So like this, there are many examples of this, that iman is simply in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hidayah and guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we truly believe this, then we'll understand that it is our efforts. But in the end, what really counts is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why throughout the day, Rasulullah has been commanded that, you know, throughout the day you struggle and you toil and you pour your efforts into the people, but at night, make effort on your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point that we can, when we analyze the words, for the first form of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَرَغْتَ. When you finish, فَرِغْ. Yeah, when you finish. What this means is that for the first form of indirect worship, calling people towards Allah, you can finish. A time comes when you can say, okay, I'm going to stop. But for the second form of worship, Allah says, tire yourself out. Allah doesn't say finish. So what it means is that there's no end to this. There's no end to this worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. This is our purpose in life. We have to worship Allah and continue worshipping Allah until we destroy ourselves worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We use up all our wealth. We use up all our health. We use up all our strength in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, there is one narration, there's one tafsir, it's mentioned in Tafsir al-Sa'di, that a slightly different interpretation of these final verses, that it means, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَكْمَلْتَهَا فَانْصَبْ فِي الدُّعَى. That one of the ulama said that what it means over here is فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. So initially we said that فَرَغْتَ is connected to the indirect worship. But here one of the ulama has written that فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ refers to salah. That when you finish your salah, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, when you finish your salah and you completed it, فَانْصَبْ إِلَى الدُّعَاءَ, فَانْصَبْ فِي الدُّعَاءَ, that stop making dua. وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَرْغَمْ فِي سُؤَالِي مَطَالِبِكْ وَاسْتَدَلَّ مَنْ قَالَ مِنْ بِهَذَا الْقَوْلِ عَلَى مَشْرُوعِيَةِ الدُّعَاءَ وَالذِّكْرَ أَقْبِي صَلَوَاتِ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ. Now, and what he's saying in the second part of the dua, فَإِذَا فَانْصَبْ means making dua after salah, and وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ, and towards your Lord with eagerness, ask that which what you desire. So, one of the ulama said, this is actually just talking about salah, and in support of this, he has brought this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abi Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that it was said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyud du'a'i asma', which dua is most listened to? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jawful layl akhir wa dubur as-salat al-maktubati, rawahu Tirmidhi. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two types of dua that are listened to the most. The first one is the last portion of the night, the dua that is made. And the second form, the second time of dua is that dua which takes place after the fard salah. And this hadith was narrated by Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, hadith number 3499. So just to finish, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuka faqul, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. In one narration, it's mentioned that we should pray this dua after salah. So, just one point to finish on is the importance of making dua after salah. There are some groups of people that, you know, they are against making dua after salah. And often we find in our masajid that after the first salah, we do our tasbihat and then we raise our hands and then we all make dua together. So there are three types of evidence for doing this. The first type of evidence, from the first type of evidence we establish making dua after salah. One of these evidences have already been mentioned. The second type of evidence is we find a hadith which mention during dua to raise your hands. And the third type of evidence we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging congregational dua and supplication where one person is making the dua and other people are saying ameen, ameen, like that. So when we put these ahadith together, we find that it's a golden opportunity after salah to join the dua and to make dua. Great individuals and scholars, notably as the Shaykh Malla Yunus Sahib Jampuri, Nawarallahu manqadahu wa baradallahu mazja'ahu, was one of the greatest scholars of hadith in this era. He passed away just a few years ago. He was a great scholar of hadith. He knew hadith better than anyone in the world in this era. And he also used to join in the dua after salah. And also, my late respected ustad, the Shaykh Malla Yusuf Mutala rahimahullah, he was actually he felt very strongly about this. If one day I remember, and I'm going to finish on this, one day I remember leading Jumu'ah Salah in Darul Uloom, and I sort of delayed making the dua, and I got a proper telling off from Hazrat Ramzullah Ali. So when we look at the Quran and the Hadith and the teachings of Islam, it's something that it's encouraged, and there's some groups of people have said it's bid'ah. This is absolutely nonsense. We find in how can dua after salah be bid'ah? Yeah, it's nonsensical. So we should always wait them extra few minutes and join the dua after salah and say ameen to the du'as of the imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to act upon the teachings of the Holy Quran and give us the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'een. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the ummah ease upon ease upon ease. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong and bless us with forbearance when it comes to tackling the difficulties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts upon us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them difficulties a means of our forgiveness and salvation in this world and the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.